God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I always find it kind of interesting when some people come up to me and say, Pastor, would you pray for such and such? By all means, I'm more than willing to pray for just about anything. And the conversation would typically go like this, you know, Pastor, why don't you pray for good weather because, you know, you have a better connection with God than I do. In which I usually have to stop and say, no, I don't. Truth of the matter be, anyone who believes and trusts in Christ has the same connection that I do, because I also believe and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. So where is this coming from? This is coming from a little bit of an idea that, you know, if you see someone who is quote-unquote a man of God, that maybe they're a little bit more holier than the average common person. Truth of the matter be, I'm not any holier. I'm just as much of a sinner as everyone else. Needless to say, God listens to my prayers just as well as he listens to your prayers. There's nothing special about if I pray a particular prayer versus if you pray a particular prayer. Both prayers are heard by God. Don't sell yourself short. Needless to say, I think that was a little bit of what was going on in the back of the mind of John the Baptist. Having that little concept in his mind going, wait a minute. You know, I'm the cousin of the Savior of the world. I'm related to him. I just got through prophesying about him. We may remember John the Baptist's words. Part of it even comes into our liturgy. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is a man who devoted his public ministry to just pointing the way and baptizing people to get them prepared for the coming of Christ. Obviously, he knew who Jesus was. Even when he was still in his mother's womb, he leaped for joy at the sound of Mary, the sound of being in the presence of his Savior, who was also in utero at that time. Obviously, John did know who Jesus the Christ was. Then our text for today, from our gospel reading, may perplex us a little bit. Because it begins, now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? And you may be just scratching your head going, John, what's going on? What's going on here? You know he is the Christ. You know him to be the Savior. Why is there any doubt? And like people who think that my prayers mean a little bit more to God than their prayers, what they're really doing is they're selling themselves short. And that's what's happening in John's mind. He's selling himself short. He knows deep in his heart who Jesus is. But because of his circumstances, he's feeling a little alone. He's feeling a little left out. So he's feeling a little devalued, so to speak. The pains and sin of this world have crept upon him, and he's feeling kind of worthless. And so he sort of begs this question, saying, okay, God, are you really out there? Do you really remember me? I don't know if you've ever felt that way, where you sort of felt like the whole world is just picking on you. And you might be thinking, does anyone really even care what's going on in my life? I mean, you can almost picture it from John's point of view going, I've got connections. I've been doing the Lord's work. Why hasn't the Lord blessed me? You know, there's a lot of Lutheran pastors and teachers who'd probably be saying the same thing. Just because we have dedicated our lives to the Lord doesn't mean that we all drive Bentleys or we all live in $2 million, $3 million homes or estate ranches. No. John apparently had the same concerns. His sinful nature was getting the best of him. His sinful nature was trying to convince him that he didn't matter very much. I don't know if your sinful nature has ever tried to convince you the same thing, that other people have been blessed by God, so maybe God loves them a little bit more. That's not true. God loves all people, regardless of their circumstances, regardless how much of the effects of sin is weighing down upon their lives, regardless of how well they've been blessed or not, God loves each and every one of you the same. He doesn't love me anymore because I'm up here preaching and proclaiming God's word to you. He loves you just the same. Don't let Satan try to convince you otherwise. So now let's take a look at how does the Christ, in a loving, caring way, need to remind John the Baptist, yes, he is still loved by God. So let's tear apart Christ's words here. Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you hear and see." So the first words that coming out of Jesus' mouth is an answer to the disciples of John, saying, go back to John. Don't tell him hearsay. Don't tell him rumor. You see it, you hear it, you tell him. Plain and simple. Let's just stick with the facts here. And so what are the facts? The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. And the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up. All these miracles of God are all signs that, yes, who Jesus is, that he is the Christ, he is the Savior of the world, all testify to that. No one else can do these things. So plain and simple, what John already knew is now being proven by fact. But the last line is very, very important. And the poor have good news preached to them. Now, Jesus could have rephrased that last line many different ways. He could have chastised John for his apparent lack of faith. He could have said to John, John, why are you doubting? Instead, he picks up on one of the key concepts of God's love, the poor. The people who don't have much. The people who are being victimized by sin in this world, the people who are sort of at the end of the rope, have what? Are they now made rich? Not yet. When they get to heaven, they will be. But now they're still in the midst of their suffering. They're going to have what? They're going to have the good news, that gospel message, preached to them. Notice there wasn't any act of condemnation against John. But instead, the gospel message. Here's the facts. And by the way, give him this message. God still loves you. You have that forgiveness. God took on flesh and blood for you. You are not alone. You are not devalued. You are not forgotten. But you are cherished by God himself. Now, the next line may throw your head spinning a little bit. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And we may be asking, where is that coming from? Again, it supports this whole idea of John throwing, you could say, a giant pity party for himself. The problem with pity parties, when we start doing that for ourselves, is it's only focusing upon ourselves. God wants us to focus on something else. A pity party basically says, you know, I deserve all these things. All these good things. I don't deserve any of the bad things. And so now we have to ask ourselves, as we view our Savior, Jesus the Christ, and if I'm here to tell you that he's here to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins, that you may be blessed physically here on earth, you may not be blessed physically on this earth, it doesn't matter because your sins are forgiven and you're going to be with God in heaven above, do you leave here being offended? Do you leave here saying, well, Pastor, I wanted a different message. I wanted the message on how my life is going to be changed and I'm going to have all these riches and I'm going to be prosperous and I'm going to have all these wonderful things come across in my life. If that was the message that you're looking for out of the Christ, then you also may be offended by these words. You might be thinking, well, what kind of God do we have? A God who is willing to give himself for you. Not to give you all the toys in life, but to give you something you could never earn. The gift of eternal life, true love, and forgiveness. Are you offended by God's generosity? Maybe a different type of generosity than you would like, but are you offended by this? If you look to God as some sort of giant Santa Claus who's just supposed to give you gifts here and now, then yes, you might be offended. You might be offended when things don't go well. You might be offended if you're John the Baptist and you're sitting in prison, not with much to eat. You can't go out and do the things you want to do. And yet you were just the other day proclaiming Christ and doing his work. You might be offended. You might be offended if you dedicated your whole life in serving our Lord, being faithful in worship services, and going telling other people about the love of Christ, and then all of a sudden some sort of great hardship comes into your life, and you might be saying, well, where is this God I keep talking about? You might be offended by God if that is where your faith is, in a God that only gives good gifts. But if you truly understand the message that Jesus was trying to convey to John, yes, God does miracles. Not to everyone. Not to all the physical miracles that we want. But the most important thing is that the poor have good news preached to them. The poor hear the message that, yes, God does love them. That the poor hear that, yes, their sins are forgiven. That the poor hear that they have the gift of eternal life. Does this offend you? I hope and pray it does not, because this is the message of the gospel. Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're looking for a different message, well, then you have to go to a preacher who doesn't preach God's word. And by the way, there are many out there. You can find preachers almost a dime a dozen who preach a sort of a prosperity theology. You believe and trust in Jesus Christ, you will be on the road to riches and be famous. I don't see that in God's word, just the opposite. If that was true, John the Baptist should be in a king's palace. And here's the pun of it. He was in a king's palace. Not on the upper floors, down in the basement, in the dungeon. That is part of the humor here as Jesus goes and challenges to the people in the rest of our text. What did you do when you went out to go into the wilderness? Did you want to hear the latest message being blown by the wind, so to speak? A message of prosperity theology? He says, what then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? And here's that beautiful pun. Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. The funny thing is, that's exactly where John was. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, and more. One who goes to prepare the way for the Savior. Those same questions could be asked of us today. Why did you come here to gather? I hope and pray it was to be strengthened in your faith, to receive the forgiveness of sins that comes through Christ and Christ alone, that greatest gift of salvation. Hopefully you didn't come to see a pastor who drives up in a Bentley. And for those of you who have read that Time article a couple weeks ago, I was also kind of surprised about that, that yes, there are pastors who have that kind of money. And the congregations are really happy and excited that he drives up in a Bentley. I drove up this morning in my Saturn. My Bentley's being fixed. Only pulling your leg here. Let's get back to the text. He says, truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Now, don't let this feed what I was talking about in the introduction. Was John's prayers any better than your prayers? The answer is no, because then Jesus continues to say, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You might be thinking, wow, what's going on here? What's going on here is plain and simple. God is trying to put down that sinful nature, that logic that sort of stirs up in your mind that basically says, you know, if I do the Lord's work, I'll be blessed. Yes, in the ways of eternal life, not necessarily in the physical aspects here of this earthly life. Sometimes we may think that, yes, those holy ones, those prophets, those messengers of God, they have a special in with God. And so what does God himself say? Not so. The one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Talk about playing mind tricks with us. No, just God is trying to sit there and say, don't let your human nature get the best of you. Don't try to let Satan sell you short. You have value. God loves you. He has forgiven you your sins through Christ Jesus. Let's not get into this comparison that God loves me or someone better than so-and-so. No, God loves us all equally. He sent his one and only Son to die for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. You are not alone. You are not forgotten. Even if you also were in prison, God still loves you. Even if your world, your physical world, is falling apart, don't worry. Your spiritual world has been put together for you by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Even if everything else in life seems to be going astray, and it doesn't seem like there's any hope, well, realize our hope is not in the physical things of this world. Our hope is in our Savior. Even if you are poor of spirit and you're thinking, I have nothing left, you have one thing that the world can never take away, that gospel message. So this day we rejoice. Not because John the Baptist is in prison and we're not. We're rejoicing because of the message that he received for while he was in prison. The good news, the poor have good news preached to them. Likewise, we also need to hear that message so that when we feel like we are of poor of spirit, we return back to that good news. Go back to the concept of God's love and how he cherishes each and every one of us, and how he gives us his love and his strength to renew us. Yes, Jesus gave a message to John. He knew he was sort of feeling down and out. And when the opportunity came, he took those disciples of John and saying, okay, tell him the facts and tell him the poor have good news preached to them. See, God does care. And that's why he gives us his word, which is filled with that good news. That's why he gives us pastors who faithfully proclaim that good news. And why he gives of himself through the cross and again to us through that bread and wine, the body and blood of Christ, for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of faith. So if you feel like you're a little poor of spirit, the pre-holiday blues, so to speak, return to where the good news is being proclaimed. Know that your Savior does indeed love you and forgive you. You are not forgotten or abandoned, but cherished by God. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.